Christ in you.
Paul says, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may be present, that we may present every man perfect in the anointed Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now Paul is saying here, I am made a minister according to God's order. God has already ordered, God has already provided it, and that order has been provided to fulfill his word. That is, and including, the hidden mystery now being revealed to his children. That mystery is the anointed one and his anointing in you and in me. You see, Christ in you, the hope of glory, means exactly this. The anointed one in you is the highest expectation of the manifested presence from the Father, which is the power of the Holy Spirit in your situation. That power is already in you. Christ in you. Begin to, every time you see that Christ, word Christ, as Kenneth Copeland says, translate and meditate. The anointed one in you is the highest expectation of God's glory. What is God's glory? His manifested presence in you. This goes right along with Philippians 4:19. God supplies all your needs according to what? His riches in glory. What are those riches in glory? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why it says in Philippians 4:19, God supplies all your riches, all your needs, according to his riches in glory, by or through or in that anointed one that is in you. The riches of his glory is that anointing. The riches of his glory. You can't get any greater than God's anointed power which dwells in you. Colossians 2:2, Paul says, I have a great concern for you. Let's read it. I would that ye knew what great conflict or concern I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen me in the flesh. We've not seen Paul in the flesh, but Paul here is writing something that applies to us. And what is he saying? That your hearts would be comforted, that they wouldn't be knit together in what? In agape, unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement. You know what that word acknowledgement means? Confessing. Paul is saying here, my great desire, for those of you that I have taught personally, and for those of you that never see my face, which would include the church today, my great desire and concern for you is that, first of all, your hearts be united in love, and then that you would come into the full understanding and confessing of the mystery of God the Father and of the Anointed One and his anointing. It's in that anointing that are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How do you think that Paul gained all the revelation that he gained? Through the anointing. How is it that God gives us revelation today? Through the anointing. And we have to realize that with that anointing comes a great responsibility. God already sees us as acknowledging that which is within us. Greater is he that is in you, God said, than he that is in the world. What's the difference between us and the world out there? Jesus. But more than being saved, it's the anointing that you receive at the time. In verse 3, he says, in Christ, or in that anointed one, in his anointing, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Verse 6 says, as you have therefore received the Anointed One and His anointing, walk in Him. Let me ask you this morning, are you walking in Him? Are you walking in the Anointed One and His anointing that is within you? You've received it, and you've received it to walk in Him. Paul says in verse 7, being rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught with an abundance of thanksgiving. You cannot move in the anointing without faith. You cannot receive and go on without faith, because it took faith to even believe Jesus Christ. Now in Him is all that anointing. And who's the Him? There's only one that He's talking about here. That's Christ. And verse 9 says, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In the body of the Anointed One, and we discussed this a few weeks ago, how Jesus was the manly part of Him, and the spiritual part was the Christ part, the anointed part. That anointing was in His body. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in the body of Jesus Christ. What does it tell us in verse 10? You are complete in Him. Therefore, if the fullness of the body, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in the body of the Anointed One is in you, the power of God is in you, that is the anointing of the Holy Ghost, should you not have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in you? But do you show it all the time? We need to get to the point where the world will look at the anointing that they see in us. Why do you think they followed Jesus? There was something in Him that they saw. There was something in Him that they heard. Do you think that when He met someone, when He met the woman with the issue of blood, or when He met Jairus, that He would say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm really not anointed today. I'm not prayed up. I'm not fed. I'm not fed. I'm not, oh, I missed it today. I'm sorry. No. He always spent time with the Father. And so must we. In verse 15 it says, Jesus has spoiled principalities and powers. He's made a show of them openly. If you are complete in Him, what are you to be doing? If I am complete in Him, what am I to be doing? Are we not to be seeing powers and principalities spoiled? He's already done it. But the enemy will desire and continues to desire to continue to have you not believe that. And Jesus said in Luke 10:19, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Those are representatives of evil powers of Satan. I give you power. What is that power? It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Don't ask God to do it. God can't do it anymore. He's already done all He's going to do. Don't let yourself get into the mode of, well, Lord, you know I sinned yesterday, so I can't do anything to help anybody today. Sin is not the issue. And I was explaining that to somebody this week. All sin has been paid for 2,000 years ago. That price has been paid. When you sin, Jesus doesn't run to the cross, a spiritual cross in heaven, and say, okay, tack me up again. It's already been done. The price for your sin, whatever it may be, however gross it may be, has already been paid. With God, sin is not the issue anymore. With God now, the issue is, what are you doing with the Christ that's in you? That's what you and I are going to be held accountable for. Well, I went to church every Sunday. Well, that isn't going to cut any ice with God. There are going to be millions of people that stand before the throne in judgment, having said they went to church. If I were to ask you, what did you do with Jesus in you this week? Did anybody see him in you this week? Did anybody hear you speak under the anointing? Or did they see you flare up and lose your temper or pout or be in strife or any of this kind of stuff? You see, we can't do that. We've gotten past that time. With God, the issue now is, what are you doing with the Jesus that's in you? And that's what we are going to be held accountable for. We are going to stand in judgment. The Christian is going to stand in judgment, and the non-believer is going to stand in judgment. The non-believer is going to stand in judgment for, not that he's in sin, why didn't you accept the one that I sent to pay for your sin? The believer is going to be judged for those who accepted Christ but aren't serving them now. Why not? Well, you see, I got angry at the pastor. Or I just didn't want to go there anymore, so I quit going to church. That's not going to hold, those excuses aren't going to hold up to God. Now, we all have children from time to time. Some of your children may be there, praise God. Mine have come out of that, and I do praise them for it. But you may have children that served the Lord at one time. I'm telling you, you need to encourage them to get back in there, because they need to be aware they're going to stand before the judgment throne of God as an unbeliever. God is married to the backslider, but a backslider is exactly that. They slid back, and they need to turn around and come back. Because that anointing is nothing that you can just cast away and take off like you do your dirty shirt. That anointing resides within us at all times, whether you're awake or whether you're asleep. That anointing never leaves you. Just as Jesus said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, neither does his anointing. And you need to realize that. Whether you're prayed up or not, that anointing is in there. All you need to do is stir it up. Verse 20, Paul says, don't let your rejoicing be in the fact that all the spirits are subject to you. And this is in Luke 10 I'm talking about now. He says, I give you all power. You've got the power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and you have power over all the power of the enemy. Who has the power? You have the power over all the power, anything the enemy can throw at you, you have the power over him. That's what Jesus said. But he said, don't rejoice in the fact that you have the power in you. Rejoice in the fact that your name is written in heaven. The greatest gift that we can receive from God is the gift of salvation. But if you do not move in that gift, and if you do not throw it away and cast it aside, the price has already been paid. You are the loser. You and I are the manifested presence of God. Now, is God being seen in you? Is God being seen in you in the shop? Is God being seen in you in the grocery store, at the gas station? Or is God only going to be seen in you when you come into these doors on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening? You are ambassadors for Christ, and so are the children. We represent him here on the earth. Is the earth seeing something in you that they say, hey, I want that? I want that? It's an interesting thing, and Alan and I were discussing it the other day, that I get so many calls from people that I don't even know. Or I get calls from people that I know that have been to the church and have left. Or I get calls from people that have read the books, and they'll call and they'll have a problem. And so I'll pray with them, I'll talk with them, I'll tell them what the word is. Then I never hear from them again until they have another problem. Sometimes if you look at that negatively, you could get mighty tired of that. I choose not to do that, however, because when they have a problem, I praise God they know where to come to get the answer. And when they do come, that power is there. They know that it's the truth. And they'll agree to that. we have to be very careful, and we have to always represent Him in everything we do. 2 Corinthians 5. Beginning with verse 18, well, 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, thank you, Lord. I don't know about your Bible, but mine says, if any man be in Christ, let him be a new creature. That kind of takes on a little bit different meaning, doesn't it? You have been made a new creature. But if you don't walk in the newness of life as that new creature, it's not God's fault. And I've read that and I've quoted it, but I never noticed that it said, let him be. So if you are in Christ, let yourself be a new creature. Let all the old things in you, the old you that used to swear, the old you that used to do all the wrong stuff, let those things be passed away. But you're the only one that has control of that. The new creature possibility and ability is in you. If you desire to lose your temper, to snap your wig and throw things and do this and do that kind of thing, the Holy Spirit isn't going to say, ho-ho, wait a minute, let me tie you up here. Because your will surpasses everything else. Now, I talked to somebody this week on the phone, one of the women that called me. And she had been a part of a ministry that had told her that the ministry was her spiritual control. And I disagreed with that. You are your spiritual control. God does not control anyone. God has put within each of us the ability to yield to Him, to His authority. But God cannot control you. If you desire to go out the steps of this church and up to the local bar, wherever it is, God's not going to say, wait a minute now, you can't go in there. Because it's your will. If you desire at any time to turn your back on God, God cannot change your will. So, as Paul is saying here, if any man is in Christ or is in the Anointed One, let him be the new creature that God desires him to be. Old things are passed away. Those old things in your life have got to pass away. Self has got to be put aside. When you become offended, you are stepping out of love and you are open for a path. Now, when someone becomes offended and speaks wrongly to you, don't take offense at that or you jump in the pot with them. What you need to do is realize this is a spirit that's working here, and you begin to pray for them and you walk in forgiveness and love. And what will happen? They'll come out of that. And you'll see the change. You'll see. But do not become offended because someone is offended with you. Because then you have two agreeing together. And then you have an opening. So, Paul says, old things have passed away and all things have become new and all things are of God, who has reconciled, which is past tense. That word reconciled means made peace with us. God has made peace with us to himself by Jesus, the Anointed One, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? Sin is not the issue. The ministry of reconciliation is two being brought back together as one. What happens when two people go into court and the judge says, I want you to try to reconcile? It means work it out. It means come back together again, doesn't it? If you have an argument with someone and you're reconciled, you come back together again. So, God has reconciled or has made peace with us through Jesus, the Anointed One, and has given to us the same ministry of reconciliation. In other words, you are not to be offended by those who come against you. You are not to be offended. The old creature in you has passed away. The new creature in you now is beginning to walk in one that has made peace with God and makes peace with others. To wit, or to know, in verse 19, that God was, in the Anointed One, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or putting their trespasses unto them, or their sins, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So, God has given now to the church, to you and to me, as ambassadors of Christ, the ministry of reconciliation. We are to manifest the gospel that the Anointed One showed us when he was here on the earth. So now, our ministry is not to say to the world, you're a sinner. Our ministry is to say to the world, Jesus, the Anointed One, paid the price for your sin. That's how to reach your children. That's how to reach the unsaved. That's how to reach the alcoholic and the prostitute and the drug addict. Jesus has already paid the price for you. God loves you. He's reconciled you to himself. You just have to receive it. That has to be the way that we approach the world. Now, in verse 20, now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you or preach to you by us, we pray for you in the Anointed One's place. In the Anointed One's place, that you be reconciled to God. So here we see a whole new ministry opening up for our church in this area. That we don't meet people on the basis that you're a sinner, you need to come to Christ, that we meet them instead, first of all, by praying for them, and then by saying to them, Jesus has already paid the price. So what is that telling us? That in Luke 4, when Jesus said, God has anointed me to break the bonds and to destroy the yoke, that's the ambassadorial place that we now stand in. You, when you accepted Jesus Christ, became sinless in God's eyes. God does not see you as a sinner. And he will never see you again as a sinner. He sees you reconciled to himself. I encourage you this week to meditate on this passage in 2 Corinthians 5:18-20. Meditate on it until you get that down into your spirit that it's the ministry of reconciliation that God has called us to. And then once you grasp that into the fullness of it, God will begin to expand on it. Once you've accepted Christ, God sees you in the same eyes as Jesus. In fact, God sees the whole world that way because God calls those things to be not as though they were. So that 2,000 years almost since Christ paid the price for us, God saw you and I already as saved and serving him. That's how he sees the world. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. I want you to be aware of something here. You may know this, but I just feel led to remind you of it. Talking again about who you are in Christ or in the Anointed One, in that Anointed One, you receive four things when you are born again. You receive wisdom. You receive righteousness. You receive sanctification. And you receive redemption. All right? God sees you this way. God sees you with his wisdom. What is his wisdom? It's not earthly, sensual wisdom. It's not the wisdom, well, this is how the world thinks, this is how I go. His wisdom is from above. His wisdom is pure. And God sees you with the capacity and the ability to move in that wisdom. God sees you as righteous. God sees you without sin. That's what righteous is. It's without sin. Do you realize that if you see yourself a sinner and you believe that you are a sinner, you don't even have any right to come before the throne of God? Because it's righteousness that gives you the ability of wiping out of sin. That's why when Christ became sin, God had to turn his back. So God sees you as already righteous. He sees you without sin, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Where are the heavenly places? There is no sin in heaven, is there? So God already sees us up there. That's how God sees you. Now you need to begin to get out of the old, I'm a sinner, 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 into the syndrome of, I'm reconciled. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. Sin isn't the issue. That word sanctified means set aside. God sees you set aside and made holy. A lot of people have the misconception of holiness. They think that holiness is something they can work. They think that holiness is coming to church with their Bible under your arm or saying to people, oh no, we won't be home Sunday morning or Sunday evening. We go to church. That's not holiness. You don't work holiness from the outside. Holiness comes from the inside out. Holiness is not what you do, it's what you are. And God has made you holy when you accepted Jesus Christ. Because in making you holy, he has set you aside for his work. And that work is the ministry of reconciliation. So, begin to see yourself that way. 1 Corinthians 3:23 tells us this. You are Christ. You are the anointed one. Now we're going to take this in reverse here. Verse 23 says, starting from the last part, the anointed one and his anointing is God. You are the anointed one and his anointing. Therefore, if you've accepted Christ and his anointing, you are God's child. That's what it says. The anointed one and his anointing is God. You are the anointed one and his anointing. Therefore, verse 22 says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, meaning men, things of men, things of the world, things of life, things of death, things that you're going through now, things that you're going to go through, all things belong to you because of what? Because of the anointed one that's in you and his anointing. That's how all those victories can come. What he's talking about here is all those things that happen to men. Marriage, sin, lust, adultery. You have victory over all those things because of the anointed that's in you. All those things that are of the world. Again, sin, businesses, finances, money, all those things belong to you, and you have the ability to obtain them and overcome any problem in them because of the anointed one that's in you. All things that pertain to life, spiritual life, physical life, financial life, business life, ministry life, social life, emotional life, all those things that pertain to life, you overcome because of what? The anointed one and his anointing. And the fact that you're God's child. The things about death. What kind of death? Spiritual death? Yes. We know that we can have brain dead people, don't we? There are people that they say are brain dead that are kept alive by machines. That's not a problem to you. Because all things are yours. You have power over life. And you have power over death. But for goodness sake, begin to realize who you are. For the anointed one's sake, begin to realize that the anointing is within you. You may not have time when you walk into a hospital room or when somebody calls you on the telephone and you need to pray immediately, speaking life to them, you don't have time to call somebody else or to look up in your Bible what the Word says. You need to have it in here. What did Jesus say? And we keep coming back to this, and it's an important part of the anointing. The Word is anointed. So when the Word is in you, the Word is in your spirit. The abundance of that Word coming out of you is what's going to be in your mouth. God will meet you where your faith is. But your faith has got to continue to grow and grow and grow, because as Smith Wigglesworth said, and I agree with that, if you don't continue to grow, you can't stagnate. You're not going to be in a holding place. You're going to fall back and move ahead. There's no time to fall back. We need to continue to move ahead. And we need to do that by putting the Word down in there. You can locate a person anywhere by just listening to their conversation. You can locate people in the hospital. And you may say, when you hear somebody, oh, they have great faith. Listen to their conversation. Is the conversation, I'm healed because that's what the Word says? Or is the conversation based on their faith in the doctor? God's going to use you to bring His glory. God can use anybody to bring forth His glory. This is true. But if your faith is in someone else's power, you're missing it, because you have the same ability. You have the same power. Everybody in this room has the same amount of power as I do. If you don't use it, it's not going to grow. You're going to begin to lose it. God has given to each one the measure of faith. The great people of faith, and you can look at any one of them, all those great people of faith continue to grow as God would have them to grow. And they are where they are because they've taken the path to grow. But it's your choice and it's your will. In the Father's eyes, He sees us with the anointing. With the anointing of that same anointing that Jesus had. John 17:21, Jesus said, as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, that they may also be one in us, that they may be one even as we are one. And what did we just read here in 1 Corinthians 3? Christ is God. You and I, Father, we're one. Christ is God. Let them be one in us. Christ is God. We are Christ, and therefore what are we? We are one in Him as Jesus prayed in John 17. Are we not? All right. And then in John 17:4, Jesus said to the Father, I have glorified you here on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. Are you going to be able to say that to the Father? Well, you see, I didn't want to stand up and sing and enter in. I didn't want to be used by the Holy Spirit because I was afraid it was me. That's not what it says there. Jesus said, I have glorified you on the earth. We stand as ambassadors in Him. If that same anointing is in you and I, then we should be glorifying the Father here on the earth. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. One spirit. Father, you and I are one, Jesus said. You are one in Him as well. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your spirit, if you are born again, belongs to God. You are bought with a high price. Blood of Jesus Christ. He gave His life for you and for me. Now, can we do any better than to give Him our life? We have given him your life, and this is exactly what he meant. Take up your cross daily and follow me. What is your cross? Oh, I guess it's my situation. I guess it's I have to be poor all my life so he can get the glory. Easy. You need to realize right now that God isn't going to get any glory out of you being sick. God doesn't get any glory out of that. The devil does. God gets the black eye. How's God going to get the glory? By you doing the things that Christ did. But that was Jesus. And that is you. Because you are one spirit with God. Let's still use this when we need it. When you have a need and you come to Lord, to the Lord and say, oh Lord, I'm one with you. I have a covenant. That's great. And we can do that. But then what about the other side of the coin when you don't have a need? And God says, hey, we're one spirit, remember? You said that. That works two ways. When you're married all the time, whether you're angry at each other or whether you're not in agreement or whatever. You're still one as far as God's concerned. When you accept Jesus Christ, you are married to God spiritually. You become one spirit. You become as Adam was in the garden, one with him. And what was the thing that separated that spirit? Sin. Disobedience. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2 says, let men take account of us as ministers of the Anointed One and His anointing, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Let men take account means recognize. Let men recognize us as ministers, that's plural, of the Anointed One and His anointing. And let men recognize us as stewards of the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, it is required that stewards be found faithful. I got you. You are a steward of the anointing that's within you. You are a steward of all that God has given you. You are a steward of healing. You are a steward of prayer. You're a steward of faith. You're a steward of peace and love and joy and everything else. You are the steward. And you are, and I am, to be faithful. Because God is a guide. So let's stand up to the requirement that God has put within us. Let's be the good stewards of the Anointed One and His anointing. Because the price it's been paid for us is a high price. But we are well capable because He has met our every need. He's met your need to be the good steward. He's met every need according to the anointing that you've been given. Amen? Father, we come in the name of Jesus and we thank you, Lord, and we praise you. That we are fashioned after your likeness. We are made in your image and likeness. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we believe that we've received it. Father God, let us go forth from hearing this message this day, believing that we are the good stewards and that it is the requirement of us to handle everything you've given us with great responsibility. We know, Lord, from your parable, about the stewards with the talent, what happened. Let us not be like the stewards with the one talent, but let us be like the one with the ten. The more you've given us, the more we use for your honor, for your glory. And we, Father, give you the praise and the glory for the Anointed One and His anointing that rests within us. We give you praise and glory for that power of the Holy Spirit that resides on the inside of us, that enables us to do anything because we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And let each of us receive this teaching as we would have it to be received. Let each of us see ourselves how you see us, seated in heavenly places, far above all powers and principalities, even as Jesus was, and even as we are. Because we are your children, and we are Christ through the covenant, through the expression of Him. Therefore, we thank you, Father God, that we are good stewards of all things that are ours, and the anointed one has anointed us. In Jesus' name we pray.